ask, what do the men of God say about this person? What's the common reputation? There should be no surprise when a man is put forward for leadership. You should say, oh, well, yeah, I saw that one coming a mile away. This was expected.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and today, Don concludes our series titled, How Do You Recognize a Future Leader? So far, Don has given 5 must-have qualifications of potential leaders: ability, loyalty, courage, godliness, and perseverance, which includes the quality of faithfulness. He moves on today to the kind of affirmation from others that should be present in a leader's record. Once again, we'll be in the book of Joshua, so turn there in your Bible as we join Pastor Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
Corporately, as we contemplate future leadership, one of the things that we ask about a man is, do you see perseverance being manifested in his life? Is he someone who stays with it over time? If so, then we have reason to believe that he's not going to jump ship when things get difficult. I remember, this is a very extreme illustration, there was a man that Nancy and I knew early in our seminary years. This was a man who was a pastor. He woke up one morning and decided that the Lord was calling him to seminary. So he gave 1 week's notice to his congregation, who without any expectation or any warning, suddenly said, their pastor says, I'm gone as of next week. And so he moved out and he loaded up the truck and he moved to Beverly. Almost literally moved to Beverly Hills from where he had been. And so he gets into seminary, and you know what? Seminary didn't work out too well for him. And so after a semester, maybe two, of seminary, he had moved on to another job. And after that job wasn't working out financially, and so he moved on to something else and then moved back to where he was from originally. And there was just this total mess of a life littered with unfaithfulness and unfulfilled promises that marked him. There was no perseverance in his life. There was nothing suggesting. In my judgment, that man would never be qualified for spiritual leadership after something like that, because he had manifested an unwillingness to persevere in the situation in which he found himself. And he was, and stated differently, spiritual leaders cannot be impulsive men. It is just too important. It is too vital. A congregation, the Lord's flock, needs to know that the men that are in leadership today are the men that are going to be there next week and next month and the year after that. Instability promotes fear and uncertainty in the people of God, in the sheep. They need a shepherd. They need shepherds, elders, plural. They need men who they can count on to be there time after time, year after year. We know where our leaders are going to be. They're going to be with us. Just as a small reflection of the fact that Christ himself said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we, as the flock of Christ, have a prerogative to expect to see perseverance, faithfulness manifested in men who would aspire after leadership before they receive the official office. Scripture calls us to that standard. Because when we see that, then we can say, you know what, he's not going to leave when things get tough. That is an important element of spiritual leadership. Now, one more. As we wrap this up from the life of Joshua, we've asked, do you see ability? Do you see loyalty? Do you see courage? Do you see godliness? Do you see perseverance? Final point, number 6, do you see affirmation? Do you see affirmation? A future leader, a man who's on the cusp of spiritual leadership, maybe would be a better way to put it at this point, of the principles that we're talking about, You should see someone who in one manner or another has been affirmed by others for his known character and godliness. Let me state this negatively. You don't simply take the man's word for it that he's a leader. You don't take the man's word for it that he's anointed to lead the people of God. The people of God have a say in that. If a man is truly a spiritual leader, there are going to be people of God, men of God, who affirm that so that we are protected against self-promoting men. The scriptures are so clear on this. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 31, and you can see this manifested in the life of Moses and of Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 1. Deuteronomy 31 in verse 1. There's always a certain bittersweet spirit that I feel as I read about as I read Moses' words in Deuteronomy. When you see a lion of God stepping off the stage, Deuteronomy 31 verse 1. Remember, we're tying this into the life of Joshua and the principle of affirmation. Deuteronomy 31 verse 1. Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go, and the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. Verse 3. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. Stop there for just a moment. Here's Moses, after 40 years of leadership through the wilderness. Moses, the one who they saw go up into the mountain and meet face to face with God. Moses, who brought down the Ten Commandments from the hill. Moses, who reigned over them. Moses, who confronted Pharaoh. Moses, who led them through the Red Sea. Moses, who had led them all this way. Moses, who was a known quantity of a man of God, established over decades. Moses, with all of that built up credibility, says, Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you just as the Lord has spoken. He, like Elijah did with Elisha, he passes the mantle. He puts the mantle on the next generation. Verse 4, the Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you. He's still talking to the people of Israel. And you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Now watch this in verse 7. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel. This is a magnificent moment. This is a very significant hinge moment in the history of Israel. The mantle of leadership is being passed publicly. Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, from one grizzled veteran to another younger grizzled veteran, Moses says, be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And so, publicly, in front of all of Israel, Moses says, Joshua, now you are the man. And all of Israel saw a known established leader pass the mantle on to the next leader, and they knew to continue following because the affirmation had been given to him in a very public way. Look over at Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. You get just a little bit of a final commentary on it. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. Moses had identified his leadership with Joshua's leadership. There was an identity, there was a continuity going forth. And the sons of Israel listened to him, meaning Joshua, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Somewhere, beloved, somewhere there should be other proven men of God who will endorse this potential leader and commend him to you for further leadership. Somewhere there should be that element. There should, a stranger, so to speak, a stranger should not enter into leadership of the people of God. You need to have an idea of who you're getting. And we can't always know that with certainty, and so we rely on the judgment of others to help us have a sense of confidence that this is a man who has the capacity to lead the people of God. It's how the baton is passed in spiritual generations. I don't mean from fathers to sons necessarily, but how leaders pass it. They acknowledge a man in a public way that shows that we identify with this one, we have confidence in him, and their credibility becomes the opportunity for the congregation to say, okay, we can trust this one too. Men that I know, men that I trust have identified with him, and therefore, as it were, they extend their credibility so that that man has it as well. This is so critical. God's man will have a good reputation amongst the people of God. Look over at the book of Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. In verse 1. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." Now watch this principle of affirmation at play in verse 3. "Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may put in charge of this task." These men had a reputation before they were put into this position of responsibility. What is the commonly held estimation of this person? It's not, there shouldn't be surprises. We minimize surprises in the realm of leadership. That's the point. We minimize surprises by seeing what they've manifested in their private actions and in their private desires. We minimize surprises by examining their life over time and seeing a principle of affirmation. We minimize surprises by looking for other godly men to identify with the future leadership of this one who is under consideration. There are all of these different principles that go in that should be in harmony and agreement with one another. 1 Timothy 3:7 also points us in this realm of being mindful of a man's reputation. What is the collective assessment? And in 1 Timothy, it even goes to people who are outside the church. 1 Timothy 3:7, he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. And so as we're considering future leadership in days to come, not tonight, but in days to come, we're just laying a foundation when we have opportunity to consider these principles peaceably, and when there are no personalities involved, we just say, what do the Scriptures say? You establish these principles now, in a time of peace, before you have to apply them to people in the future, you ask, what's the commonly held estimation of this person? What do the men of God say about this person? What's the common reputation? For someone who's involved in the life of a church and an active participant in it, there should be no surprise when a man is put forward for leadership. You should say, oh, well, yeah, I saw that one coming a mile away. This was expected. You know, if you're involved on an ongoing basis over a period of months and years in a church and somebody's put forward for leadership, It should be impossible for you to say, where did he come from? I've never heard of him. All of these principles are designed to protect us from that. And so, beloved, and kind of bringing this into things that has the potential for a little more individual application as you're looking out and you consider other teachers that you listen to, beware of self-proclaimed teachers. Beware of those who talk about their own anointing. Be willing to ask this question, whether you speak it directly to the man's face or whether you're just thinking it through on your own. Who endorses this man besides his own mirror? Who lays hands on this man and affirms his character and his doctrine to me besides his wife? Be willing to ask those kinds of hard questions. That will protect you from internet, whatever. It'll protect you from people on the internet that have tried to sidestep this qualifying process that Scripture speaks so clearly of. It will protect you if the Lord brings us to a situation where I'm removed from the scene, if the Lord calls me home early and the church is still young. It protects you from somebody just waltzing in and saying the right things without having these principles of leadership firmly inculcated into your collective consciousness. I'm concerned about what happens after I'm here, not just while I'm here. And the key for those of you especially that are younger and are going to be a long-term part of the future of this church, the key is for you to embrace these things now when there's no personalities at stake and to be convinced of these things. And then when that opportunity or when that need or that crisis comes, then you step up and say, no, these are the principles that we must follow. These are the questions that we must ask. We must protect the people of God and not simply be blown away by the charisma of someone that we hardly know. Scripture teaches us in order to protect us from those who would come in and take a position and then turn a church into an element and an instrument of his own ambition. May God protect Truth Community Church until Christ returns from that horrible fate. May God protect us from men like that. One of the ways that God will providentially implement that is by us collectively, me and you individually, collectively coming together and saying, we see how God marks out a leader, and we're not going to short circuit those principles. We're going to honor them and trust that over time God will honor us as we seek to honor His Word as mere under shepherds of the great shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep. Let's kind of draw this to a close, would we? Would you be a leader of God's people, whether you're 15 or 50? Would you be a leader of God's people? Scripture says that it's a good thing for a man to aspire after the office of an elder. It's a good thing for a man to aspire after leadership. If you would be one of those men, consider the character traits that Joshua exhibited. Ability, courage, loyalty, perseverance, godliness, and be willing to wait for the affirmation of God's people. Sometimes you may find that seems to be very slow in coming. Sometimes that may seem to be like a distant dream. But understand that you prepare for leadership in large part by daily faithfulness to the responsibilities and the leaderships that are in front of you right now. You young people, you don't have to wait until someone says, come and preach at the pulpit of such and such a church. No, it starts way before that. And you're not going to rise up to that occasion if you haven't been preparing for it all along. And so you prepare for leadership now by saying, what are my responsibilities today? Oh, I have to do a math lesson? There you go. That's where I start. Where are your relationships today? I need to submit to my mom and dad. There you go. That's where I'll start. Day by day, start with what is right in front of you rather than saying, if it comes to me, then I'll rise to the occasion. It doesn't work that way. And for those of you who are a little further along, if the process seems a little slow and a little long, take heart in these words from C.H. Spurgeon, which in the Bible I used to use, I had written right in the front and carried these words with me for a very long time, till that Bible fell apart. C.H. Spurgeon said, quote, "If your call from the Lord be a real one, you will not long remain silent. As surely as the man wants his hour, so surely the hour wants its man." End quote. God appoints an hour for his men, and he appoints men for his hour. Our job is not to try to manipulate circumstances and people to bring it about through our own self-effort. Our job is to prepare ourselves and to develop the character qualities and to honor the character qualities of which Scripture speaks. And then we just present ourselves day by day and as a day by day sacrifice and as a life sacrifice. Lord, if your people need leadership, here I am, send me, but I'll wait for you for the call. There's honor in that. And that's what we want to cultivate as the spirit of which we think about leadership here at Truth Community Church. Men, don't search for a mystical call. Don't search for God's voice coming to you and calling you out of the blue. We're not going to be a church where people say, oh, God called me on March 14th to pastor. It doesn't work that way. It's proven over time. Rather, you seek the Lord privately and wait for Him to open opportunity publicly. And you trust that in time, God will honor your faithfulness in small areas and lead you to broader avenues of service for Christ your King. If your call from the Lord be a real one, you will not long remain silent. As much as you want that hour, God has prepared the hour for you to meet. We'll trust Him for what that has for us ahead. Okay? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the pattern of leadership that is laid out for us in your word. And I know that there are men in this congregation, men that are here that burn with a desire, Father, for faithfulness to you, that long to be someone who leads the people of God, not for their own self-acclamation, not that they would be seen as a leader, but because they love Christ and they love His people and they want to be a servant to the ends of their spiritual growth. I know that we have men like that now. I know, Father, that we have younger men who would raise up and become like that in the future. And so, Father, I pray for these men. I pray that you would preserve them and protect them in purity and in holiness and in biblical Christian honor, that you would sanctify their lives and set them apart in such a profound way that as they are carrying out daily acts of faithfulness, that you are simply shaping them for the future that you have for them yet to walk into. Father, as a church, as a congregation, help us to come alongside these young men and to love them and to affirm them and to support them. And Father, let us be the kind of people that would model godliness that they themselves could say, that's what it needs to be like. That's what I too want to pursue. Father, we don't care what the world thinks. We don't care about their affirmation. We don't care whether people who have no interest in the things of God think anything about our church or not. But we do care deeply, Father, that we would be found pleasing in your sight. And so help us to that end. Help us to be people like this individually. Help us corporately to be like this. Father, have your way with Truth Community Church. We simply ask that you would protect us and use us as you do. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
And so the picture of a good future leader is complete. You should see ability, loyalty, courage, godliness, perseverance, and the affirmation of others. As you've heard previously, a leader cannot possess just some of these qualities. It's all or nothing. Pastor Don Green will have more teaching from God's Word next time on the Truth Pulpit, so plan now to be with us. Right now, Don's back in studio with a special request.
Well, you know, my friend, I feel very blessed by God to be able to do what I do. I have a church that is loving and supportive of me, that love to hear God's word. I have this radio broadcast. I have the opportunity to speak to you in a personal manner like this. What a wonderful gift that is. You know, I would just encourage you, if the Lord ever brings us to your mind, pray for us. We're like all men in ministry. We feel our inadequacy. We realize that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to attend the work that we do so that there would be eternal fruit for your good and for the glory of Christ. So pray for us as the Lord brings us to mind. Pray for those that support the Truth Pulpit with the labor of their hands. We have a wonderful team, and we're just so grateful for you as you listen to us day by day on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com soon to learn more about our ministry. I'm Bill Wright. Join us again next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.